Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In this episode, we're really dropping into how to navigate key moments during an argument to prevent never having the need to have an argument again with your queen. And I quite literally mean this. You can create a marriage where arguments are a thing of the past. Yeah, intense conversations are there. My queen and myself, I've come to enjoy intense conversations when a deep point of importance comes up for my queen, myself. There's a conflict of opinions, of perspectives, of truths. There are different. It's not there's a conflict. There are different needs, different perspectives, different truths, different human experiences happening at the exact same time, but there's no conflict. There's no argument. This one episode, I'm coming in, supporting you come in to find a ground under your feet where you too can make this repeatable process. Before I kick off, I periodically like touching base. You know, if you're new to this, or if you're one of the old guard that has been here from the start, or, you know, you've listened to the majority, if not all of the episodes, doesn't matter what part you're coming in. This is the first message or a repeated reminder. I honor and acknowledge you for your 10 out of 10, brother. You're in marriage. You're in a deep, intimate relationship. So many guys are scared shitless to even enter the octagon that you have already entered. I honor you for the courage to do that. If it was blind faith, if it wasn't the most conscious decision, man, there's still courage there. There's a heart there. There's a willingness to get vulnerable. I honor you for every single day in your relationship up until to now, doing your 10 out of 10 best with the toolbox that's available to you. There is no exception to this. Every single one of you listening in, you have been doing your individual and collective 10 out of 10 best with the toolboxes available to you. No exception. I honor that. Yet, here in the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast, and by extension in the Heroic Husbands Men's Circle movement, we honor that, and yet from that sense of love and acceptance and acknowledgement of you're doing your best, you know, we individually and collectively as men, we're a band of brothers, we honor that. But that builds the foundation to get ruthlessly direct with where we're not at, with where we're lacking tools, with where we have a tool but we don't know how to use that tool to evoke a response from our queens that will support a deepening of intimacy, creating trust in her, have her expressing love, you expressing love, living happily ever after. So what happens in arguments? So often guys get stuck with the charge of emotion that comes up inside of them. Deep frustration, can be aggression, pissed off, upset, disappointment, rejection, anger, you name it, sadness, grief. And we get caught in that moment. And then we end up adding tons of story to it. Thoughts. Thoughts are stories, storytelling. Thoughts in the form of shame or blame thoughts. Shame, beating the shit out of yourself. You know, you experience that charge of emotion. And it's like, oh, I'm such a piece of shit. Oh, I fucked up again. Oh, I can't believe I've upset her like this. Oh, I can't believe... You get it. Every single one of you, at moments, have these thoughts. Every single one of you have thoughts of blame. Fuck her. It's her fault. She's not Chris. She's cri There she goes again, criticizing me. God, there's why is there n never anything I can do that seems right to her? Oh my God, like it's blame thoughts against her. On a practical basis, touch base. Like these storytelling, you have that intense emotional rising, the triggering moment. Shame thoughts, blame thoughts come, and in conflict, very often this is stonewalling. Have you ever experienced stonewalling? Stonewalling is when, yeah, psychologically, you build a stone wall. She's nothing to go on. You go silent. If you're like me for so many years, bedtime conversations is when my queen classically brought it late at night. I just stare at the fucking ceiling, stonewalling. There was so much shit going through my head, and shit would go through my head, and then I just go blank, stonewalling. Obviously, in conflict, you can get argumentative. The blame thoughts explode out against her. You start attacking her. Post-conflict, it's called technically ruminating. I would more say, man to man, it's fucking bitching in your head. We call it boy bitch energy in heroic husbands men circles. Do you ever find yourself post-conflict sort of ranting in your own head, going, oh, well, for fuck's sake, fuck her, blame thoughts. Jesus, she's there she goes again. Oh, screw her. I'm gonna leave her. Like, enough. Enough of this. I don't have to take this shit. She's always like this. She's not doing her own work. She refused to go to therapy or whatever. Blame thoughts, shame thoughts. You're ruminating, beating the shit out of yourself. Well, in all of this, within Heroic Husbands and here at the podcast, I want to say, like, just put the stick down. And what's the stick? The stick is when our nervous systems, those protective pathways, pick up the stick. The stick is blame thoughts, beating the shit out of our queens. This beautiful human being that has said yes at some point to playing out the rest of this sacred life journey on this beautiful earth, in our beautiful home. She said yes to go, yeah, with you, man. I'll do this dance with you. What a beautiful thing. And we take a stick in our heads and beat her. And then take a stick of shame to ourselves, beat ourselves up, turn against ourselves. I want it, like in the culture here, to go put down the stick. I lovingly say to you, it's time to put down the stick. Stop beating your queen up mentally. Inside yourself, stop beating yourself up. It's time to put down the stick. Nothing ever good comes off it. In marriage, in life, in parenting, in anything, in your human experience. Obviously, we ultimately, on the absolute level, create our entire lived external experience from the inside out. So it's all happening from inside your nervous system. It's projected out, and then you create your external world from there. It doesn't work. Now, in all of this, it's again a reminder. I want every single one of you being like samurai warriors in the inside with precision of what is going on in moments of conflict with when you experience moments of conflict with your queen, and it can seem like she's the enemy. But what's really happening again is there's the triggering event. What she says doesn't say, you say, conflict happens. You go into heart closure. Heart closure, again, I will repeat this again and again and again and again because you've got to get this into your everyday lived reality and experience. It can't be, oh yeah, there was that episode back 3 months ago and like every now and then. No, it needs to be regular. It's one of the most important foundational points for being able to soften into this work and allow your nervous system take it on to the point at which that you show up in an embodied way that your queen can feel, wow, there's been a distinct shift in Todd, Andrew, Mike, Joe's way of showing up, whatever your name is. When your nervous system And your nervous system is your mind. It has the frozen, stuck memories of all previous experiences in your life ton of son mother experiences that you never got to process, and there was shit that went down that no matter how beautiful your mother is and how much you love her, shit went down. There is no exception to this. If you think you're an exception, it's okay. You're probably touch base with yourself if you don't know, if you feel a bit triggered with leaning into suggestions that your mom mightn't have been so perfect with you. It's like, my mom was a good woman, she's still a good woman. It's like, you know, there's no issue between myself and my mom. Touch base, ask yourself this. Do you find yourself quite judgmental of your queen? You will find, pretty much without exception, that if you answer that honestly, you'd be like, oh yeah, but what does that mean? You know, it's like, that means nothing, Mark. It means everything, man. It means you've suppressed your judgments of your own mother. You've suppressed your resentments of your own mother to the point in which that shit comes out with your own queen. Ah, moment of truth. So what's happening is, within a nanosecond of experiencing triggering experiences with your queen, there's a bodily stress response. And a couple of nanoseconds after that, the body experiences that stress, that fear response first, from triggered memories of, oh shit, this is something similar that I've experienced before. I experienced severe pain, and, you know, the nervous system doesn't go between life and death, my physical life could end, or emotional pain. Memories are set down in our nervous system in direct proportion to the amount of emotional charge at the time. Super happy moments, the moment like you got your first bike, I don't know, you won the winning goal that sealed the championship back when in your early 20s, your wedding day, birth of a child, etc., etc. Super high emotional charge, you'll remember those moments. Super low emotional charge, you'll remember those moments. So the stress response, the fear response gets kicked off. The body has responded. Then the prefrontal cortex, your thinking brain, catches up with a story. To caricature this, it's like you can imagine you were savagely attacked by fight-trained Rottweilers. I say fight-trained Rottweilers because consciously trained, loved Rottweilers. I don't want to do any breed shaming. I'm a big dog lover. It's bullshit. But imagine you were savagely attacked by a fight-trained Rottweiler, and then, you know, years later, it's like, get that fucking beast away from me, and you're there screaming at a chihuahua that's barking at you. And that can be a real-life story. There's no shaming in that. It can seem humorous. I want to contrast it in a way that is humorous, but that's a lived reality for people that haven't got over the trauma of being bitten when they were growing up. That's the nervous system in action. The trauma response is, if the chihuahua in front of me seems anything similar, it's a dog, it's barking, it's, you just, your nervous system sees, you know, the bared teeth, it's like, it just makes sense. If it's 1% similar to that deeply traumatizing experience that was dangerous to your sense of being growing up, it makes sense to just go into full flood of fear. This is what's happening constantly with our queens. And this, my beautiful heart warrior friends, is where this episode comes in. I want this sentence locking into your mind, into your nervous systems. When in hell don't story tell? When in hell don't story tell? By hell, I'm talking about those moments that you're deeply triggered, where a tsunami of resentment, of rage, of rejection, or a whole cocktail of shitty feeling emotions come up. Your wife is after saying something, doing something, and blah, and the story, remember, what's technically after happening is there's a revealing of hell inside of you. Decades of decades of decades of unexpressed, unhealed, unspoken, unheard parts of your nervous system that are wanting to come true, that wants to find its voice in the moment, which makes sense from a psychotherapeutic point of view, because it's the voice of your 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old that hated your mom for doing that thing, for really despised her, didn't like, felt hurt, felt rejected, didn't feel seen, heard, or safe around her for all of these incredible amount of things, even though she mightn't have been wittingly doing any of it, but she did. It comes through like a tsunami. Again, touch base with your experience. Are there not moments when your queen says something, does something, and it, like on a level rationally, you can go, yeah, it's just, it's almost innocuous, but boom, this tsunami comes through you. And there's such a desire to be heard in that moment, to finally just flood out with words. But where you catch this is, when in hell don't story tell? Your role, sort of like it's like Mission Impossible. what's the words? Your mission, if you choose to accept it. It's like, this tape will self-explode. This podcast episode will just like, no, your device won't blow up. But your mission, if you choose to accept it, and if you choose to accept it, your marriage will go well. And if you choose not to accept it, your marriage will remain in the shitter. I'm just want this like black and white. You know, most guys self-declare, self-identify as like, I'm a rational-minded man. Well, okay, man. If you're rational-minded, you got to listen. You know, make it binary. Make it black and white. If you can lean into this, when in hell don't story tell, you're going to fucking nail it. Because your mission, if you have the spiritual balls to accept it as your mission, is to be the masculine pole in your relationship. And that is to be the mountain in the storm. Mountain is mindfulness, is stillness. The mountain remains impeccably still in the storm. Storm is feminine. It's your queen. Deep emotion. Unboxable, untamable. It's what turns us on when we feel safe around it. In her queen's early days, she's not projecting stuff. She has yet to realize we have a library of fucking resentment undealt with her moms that we're in future going to project onto her. In the beginning, all of that storm, all of that hot emotional energy we like, it's like, oh, it's so refreshing. Yeah, you know, it turns me on. You're so invigorating. She gets you out of your head and into your body sexually, emotionally. You laugh. There's a lot of beautiful emotional experiences there. So your job is to become the mountain in the storm. She's the full storm, full feminine, unboxable, untamable. She's the ocean. You're the mountain. You're the, if it's the ocean metaphor, you're the coastline. You're there. You're the container for everything she needs to experience in her deeply feminine lived human experience. When you're in the mountain, you don't storytell. You recognize this when in hell don't storytell, because when in hell, the hell that comes through you, without exception, guys, that's a conditioning of 20, 30, 40, 50 years in your nervous system of undealt with shit and pain, which if you don't recognize that in that moment, it comes up, prefrontal cortex adds story. The prefrontal cortex in you, in me, it needs to add story. So if it adds story without recognizing, this is just a revealing of undealt with hell inside of myself. And if it makes the false assumption, which 99.99999% of the time it does, unless you're doing conscious deep work like I'm, you know, challenging you to open your mind to, it makes the assumption, she said it, she did it, she caused it. She's at fault. She's the enemy. She's wrong. If I'm feeling this, she did that, she's wrong, I'm right. And you argue from there. Does that not just describe every single conflict, your inner world experience? I'm right, she's wrong. She's upset me. She did that, said that. Clearly, if I'm feeling this as a result of that, she's wrong. However, if you want to end arguments forevermore, the key practice in that moment is, when in hell don't story tell. It's to, as the conscious king that you are, the heroic husband. You know, if you're liking this podcast, I remind you intermittently of this. I state those as identifiers, as aspirational identities that I'm challenging you by my repetition at the beginning and during podcast episodes. I'm challenging you to start assuming that, ah, heroic husband, ah, kingly brother, you're a king. If you want to embody that, you're going to have to embody that if you're to transform your marriage. You really need to embody something different. Same shit, different day. It's boy, bitch. Just playing out the same bullshit, repeated patterns that you learned in childhood to, you know, protect your heart from feeling more pain than you had to. I get it. Blame and shame, it makes sense. It protects the heart from feeling more pain than it's able to in an environment that was not so conducive, was not trauma-informed, where nobody was listening to you, nobody was seeing you, hearing you, and help you feel psychologically and emotionally safe. I get it, man. This just makes you human. None of this makes you wrong. However, it's not helpful when you keep the same shit, different day responses going forward. Same shit, different day responses and hoping and expecting and actually blaming your wife when she doesn't bring something new to the table. That's like, that's boy bitch energy. That's entitlement bullshit that we bring. Subconsciously, we remain as boys going, hey, we're entitled to better shit from you. No, you gotta fucking earn that. You're a king. You're an heroic husband. And so long as you feel entitled, so long as you're looking the far side of the table at your queen, judging her for what she's not bringing to the relationship, you're on the path to divorce. You're on a path to worse than divorce, unhappily ever after. And nothing better. You deserve nothing better if that's all that you're doing. I had to come to this cross of destiny in my life. Hence, here I am. I have to come to this cross of destiny every single moment with my queen. And the choice I make, and the guys in Heroic Husbands men circles that are transforming their marriages so potently, the vast majority are getting really positive feedback from the queens, and some of them still have, I'll open to that, some of them still have like a fuck you on their queen's nervous system, because why? Hey, right or wrong, it actually doesn't make a difference. Karmically, they met this podcast, they met Heroic Husbands Men's Circles as an opportunity. I'm not going to say that they met them at the right time, but it's like the later in the day that you come to this work, karmically, there's way more momentum. If you allow more and more and more and more momentum build in your queen's nervous system, that can be a really fucking intense and grueling path to turning that momentum around. It was Larry Hagner from The Dad Edge that told me in my episode on his show that on average, I remind you of this again and again intermittently, on average, when a queen has put the divorce papers in front of her husband, she has been considering that decision for more than 2 years. Two or more years. That's a lot of momentum behind her heart and nervous system, building a protective strategy, closing heart off and opening up to, you know, a version of happily ever after without you. You don't want to wait to that point. So I'm just saying, however, the vast majority of guys, their queens are rapidly have come around to their men showing up in a different way. The very few guys that aren't really getting that response are still getting very positive feedback. It's just there's a lot of, it's like some of their queens don't feel they can get over that resentment of, actually, it's like you're showing up great now, but don't forget the asshole you were. This shit works. I would say, like, the sooner you get real and practice it, the better. You don't want to wait indefinitely playing with time, playing like lone wolfing it, pretending that you just can turn it all around working by yourself. Lean in as much as you can with the podcast, but I do say, hey, the ultimate thing, Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, you know, the link to book a free application call to have that experience, to see kind of fit you, like, it's there for you, man. So in that key moment, you're the mountain in the storm. And the mountain, it's like, sink into these words, man, like, Mountains know storms come and go. Mountains know storms come and go. When you're coming from that maturing, grounded, masculine core part of you, you know that storms come and they go. If you just sit there, if you just shut the fuck up, and when in hell don't story tell, the storm will pass. And when you know that storms come and go, then it takes out this pressure to add story to it, to go to shame and blame and create a whole fucking drama. I remember looking at, remember the show Dawson's Creek? What was the fucking protagonist? Oh, my queen used to look at it as well before we met, and we laugh about this. I'm like, anytime that there's melodrama in relationship, I'm like, oh, just gone all Dawson's Creek on that. Male or female, it's sort of like this inner private joke. Because why? Dawson's Creek, hey, there were they just bunch of teenagers, like they were doing as like protagonist. He was fucking mentally masturbating 24/7 about this love of whoever the girl was at the time. Was it Joey? I'm fucking forgetting the names. But anyway, it was just a big mosh pit of fucking mental masturbation and thinking and thinking and talking, thinking, talking, thinking, talking, thinking. When it was like, man, just like if you want her, fucking go for her. But of course, that's part of like fucking soap opera shit. It's like all the melodrama in the world, it actually conditions us to fucking drama. When it's like, get masculine. If you want her, just use all your sexual energy, penetrate the bullshit, get real with her. get it done. Or don't. Don't spend your whole fucking teenage years. He was a protagonist of the show. He was on a fucking fictional show. This is how I spent my entire teenage years, college years, mentally masturbating, ruminating, thinking, thinking, thinking. I had so much unchecked shame. All my mind was doing was storytelling. Storytelling. Touch base with yourself. How much storytelling do you do in your mind about life, about every little hurt and feeling that you have with your queen, with your boss, with your kids, with your mom, with your dad, with your in-laws, with your neighbor? When somebody slights you, when somebody upsets you go into storytelling. You just camp out in your mind storytelling, having a good old bitch inner world bitching party. You might bitch with guys that you can be in confidence with, but like they like you cathartically bitching because they want you to hold space when they're like, oh, for fuck's sake, my queen, my. Normally, when we're consciously talking, we don't say the word queen. That's why I always bring the term queen here. I want to upgrade how we relate with our beautiful women. The number one thing is to become the mountain and don't storytell. When you find your mind going to storytelling, shaming or blaming, you become the mountain and go, okay, the mountain knows storms come and go. I'm not going to storytell. Storytelling through shaming and blaming. That storytelling is thinking, and thinking produces what? Talking and taking action. Now, if you're in the middle of a river of blaming thoughts, and then you speak from that, you're going to judge your queen. You're going to put her down. You're going to start calling her out. You're going to start criticizing her. You're on the defensive. How often has that worked for you to bring conflict into connection? How often? Never! Ever, ever in the history of men and women getting together has going from inner world storytelling of blaming your queen when you talk from those blaming thoughts, has it ever brought connection? I ask the other question. How often, when you've been shaming, beating the fucking shit out of yourself in the inside, and you talk from there or you take action from there? Thinking produces talking and taking action, yeah? Thus, thinking, talking and taking action are our three greatest creative tools in this human experience. But thinking is the one that produces what happens in the arena, talking and taking action. So thinking is the potent, most potent point to catch the bullshit where it's arising, yeah? And this is why when in hell don't storytell, when in hell, when all of this trauma is being released, when 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 decades of anger, of repressed rage, of resentment, of all of this pain and suffering, man, you, every single one of you went through it. But when that comes up in your present day, the king in you has got to realize, the mountain has got to realize, when in hell don't storytell, this is trauma. This is a ton of undealt with stuff. I will deal with that in a side. I will not storytell, because if I storytell, that's my rational mind thinking that what my queen is after doing to me in this moment today, 2024, whatever date, this moment, that morning, that night, it's all to do with what she said and didn't say. No, it has nothing to do with that. Shut the fuck up. When in hell don't storytell. Don't go with those thoughts. Now, the key thing is, what do you do in the arena? I know this can seem like this is like, oh, well, that's a great philosophy, Mark, but when I'm in the arena, what do I do? First of all, it's like number one mission on the battlefield is stop your boy bitch energy from taking over the steering wheel of your mind. When boy bitch energy is characterized by thoughts of shame, thoughts of blame, storytelling. It's the stick. The boy bitch, when triggered, when upset, takes the stick out and beats his queen or beats himself or both. You've got to make sure your boy bitch energy does not get to the steering wheel of your mind, doesn't get to take over your full thinking. And if it takes over your thinking, then it takes over your talking and your taking action, which is going to be a 2-hour conflict, a 3-hour conflict. It's going to be a conflict that never came to resolution, never came to connection. You sleep it off. You might have some, you know, down and dirty makeup sex to just fucking try and shift that shitty energy, but it builds resentment in the long term. It's a horrible, horrible dynamic. I experienced it nonstop for 12 years. It's fucking soul destroying. Don't pretend it's not for you. Every single one of you, whether, and I know a lot like myself, have disconnected with how sensitive you are, how much of an emotional being you are, but it fucking hurts deep down. And if you don't believe that, it's only till men get fucking divorce paper slapped on the table that all of a sudden they're like, they start realizing it. Most of the guys that come in that have had that fate presented before them, they're like, that's when I woke up. It's like this comment of, it's not until you don't have or what you love the most has been taken from you that you realize how much it means to you. That's when it, every man is reminded how fucking emotional he is. So in the moment, so it's like you go with when in hell don't storytell, but there's this hell inside of you, and I will meet you there. I'll empathize with you. A hell still comes up inside me at certain key moments with my queen. She says something, she gives me feedback, whatever, and I could have a multitude of factors in that day. Maybe I didn't sleep well, I've had health issues with asthma. These aren't excuses, these are just factors. It's like a peak performer needs to be aware of all the factors that is supporting his or her performance in the field, in the arena, in the sports arena, and know psychologically, physiologically, are their needs being met? And they will know that their performance will be at the height of how their systems in their life meets their needs. There are certain moments when I just haven't been nourished, had my needs met, and I'm a bit more fragile in the moment of a stinging bit of feedback, direct feedback that I'm all the time calling from my queen. But in that moment, I'm just not so grounded. I would say call a timeout. Sports metaphor. I know a lot of you guys are listening from the States. Timeout. Isn't it like in basketball? And that's a key thing. Key thing that I was reading the book recently by Phil Jackson from, you know, the former coach of the Chicago Bulls, LA Lakers. Absolute fucking legend. It's like, it's a key thing. You know, if the opposing team, it's like a conflict moment in basketball. The opposing team are like going on a mad storm of like nine points without reply. Call a timeout. Break up their momentum. I'd say call a timeout as soon as you recognize that the storytelling in your mind is like shame or blame, and it's feeling hot and there's hell. It's your job to catch the hell in your nervous system and then focus 100% on dissipating the default response of the prefrontal cortex of your rational mind to start firing out the habitual storytelling. Blame her, or beat the shit out of yourself. You gotta, when in hell, don't storytell. Call a timeout. The language you can use, get creative, use your own. I'll suggest, from simple, and I need a few minutes to calm down. Express your need. I need a few minutes to calm down. Take some moment to yourself. Literally, I need a few minutes to calm down. You can be in the presence of your queen, or I need a few minutes by myself to calm down. Or try, I need a few minutes to gain some healthy perspective in my mind. You're acknowledging what's currently in your mind is unhealthy, but hey, you're speaking and owning. It's like, I need a few minutes to gain some healthy perspective in my mind. It's acknowledging, it's taking the bullets out of the gun, saying it's unhealthy at the moment, but my intention is to get it healthy. I know one, like I will say this with my queen. I was scared shitless in the beginning to say this because I thought I was always, there was this part, again, conditions from my past of fearing she'd judge me, but it's been the most trust building way of dealing with conflict with her. Actually, no conflict, but when with these initial, there is no conflict when I do this. Actually, that's the thing. I would explicitly say, baby, there's nothing helpful in my thinking now. Give me a few moments to settle a storm. I'm going outside. 5, 10 minutes, I'll be back in. I literally would tell her, it's like, guys, I would say to her, it's like, baby, it's like 100% blame thoughts in my mind at the moment. There's nothing, there's nothing helpful. There's no connection going to come from my mind at this moment. There's no point having this conversation. Just I'm going walking the dogs. I'll be back when I'm with you for this conversation. I want to be fully with you, and I want to actually be safe to be around. Right now, I just need to tend to my own mind. My queen never gives out about that because she knows I'm being the mountain. That's that masculine part. I'm owning the hell that's coming up in me. I'm recognizing the storytelling in my mind in that moment is going to be destructive. I know it, and I'm catching it. It's a pure fucking turn on for my queen. She really fucking loves that capacity. All the times I use it, sometimes I don't. She gives me fucking feedback. It ain't pleasurable to receive, but when I'm unsafe, when I don't catch it, I'm not perfect in this practice by any means. Never want that to come across. That's the work, guys. When in hell don't storytell, but you've got hell to work with. That's fucking intense. Call a timeout. Go for a walk. On your timeout, don't just sit and again. On the timeout, the important thing is to find a way to get the fuck out of your head and into your body. Like I would say, go for a vigorous walk in nature. Just like what I do is like 5, 10 minutes down the roads with the dogs back by myself, whatever. Breathe fresh air, rain in the face, whatever. Breathe, move. Jump down and do push-ups to exhaustion. It really gets your heart pumping, gets you really into your body, gets out of your head. You like when you do push-ups to exhaustion, whatever it is, number of push-ups or squats, your whole body, you really get out of your head. It's a skillful way of working with your mind and your nervous system to take the sting out of that initial trained habitual patterns in the nervous system to jump into storytelling. Get into your body. Sit and meditate. If that is available to you, it's like sit and meditate. You know, sometimes it can be conducive, maybe with a bit of practice, but if that works for you, just sit and just be, just breathe deep. Breathe down deep. Breathe deep. You'd be witnessing the thoughts, but you're grounding yourself in, you're coming back to consciousness. You're like the mountain looking at the storm clouds, going, okay, I'm not these thoughts. I'm not these emotions. I need to come back. And ask yourself, you know, directly, indirectly in your mind, what am I not taking extreme ownership of here? When you reflect like that, everything you will come back with will be more conducive in bringing about connection, in bringing to resolution the potential argument, conflict. It's easier. The sooner you can bring this control in the conflict, in the heart closure, the easier it is to dissipate the momentum. If you leave it until 20 minutes in when you've already lambasted her for 15 of those 20 minutes, okay, it's more intense to recover. But a really dropped in sincere sorry and an expression of extreme ownership, you can turn it around radically, quite quickly. It's just, it is more intense. This is all working off the foundation, guys, that, and reflect upon this deep down philosophically, this paradigm fucking works. You're transmitting a message that has evoked this response in your queen. And again, once you become into conscious control of the message you are transmitting, that's when you're in conscious control of the response you're going to evoke. You know, and have the humility in those moments when you're reflecting, you go for a time out. You know, what is it? What is in my transmitted message today? And I underline this next part, like, or in the lead up to today, that is evoking this response from her. Again, the storytelling in the moment, blame her, blame her, blame her, shame myself, bullshit. Not going to bring anything of any use to you, to your queen, to your marriage, to your kids, to the world. It's fucking bullshit. Cut that shit out. You got to rip that fucking shit out. Be ruthlessly hack out the non-essential, as Bruce Lee said. What is in the message that I'm transmitting today or in the lead up? A lot of times queens are just fucking pissed off because we haven't been showing up for days, weeks, months, maybe even years. Depends where you are on this path. So, coming into landing, guys, you have this available to you. When in hell don't storytell? The storytelling is predominantly 99.9% in the form of blaming and shaming. It never has worked to bring about connection. It doesn't fucking work. Rip that shit out. So when in hell don't storytell? And as that mountain, mountains know storms come and go. So breathe into it, relax. The storm comes up in you, just let it pass by. There's a storm in horror, just shut the fuck up. Let it pass by, don't storytell. Take a time out, get into nature, calm yourself down, get some perspective, breathe deep, come back with an entire intention inside of you that you want to connect with your queen. You recognize you're having a deeply human experience. She's having a human experience and it's like, let's have a chat. Let's share from there. This shit works. So many guys are saying it. Dean came on the podcast recently. He was saying it. This shit works. In 2 months, it's been sensational. It's happening all around the place with Heroic Husbands, Men's Circles, those guys doing this work. It's available to you. I will, again, put it down. The gauntlet down before you guys. Direct Masculine Challenge. Don't be waiting till she's had 2 years of ruminating and considering, you know, living life without you. Don't wait till the divorce papers come. Wake the fuck up. Look with clean, objective eyes and feel into it. If it ain't fucking pretty, what's happening in your marriage now, if you're like feeling that now, getting real, she's feeling that 100 times more intense. Get real. Jump on the link now. It's in the podcast description. Make an application call. Cost nothing, but can and will transform the rest of your life. The rest of your marriage, happily ever after, is available to you, your queen, your kids. And that's the name of the game in this movement. In perfect, perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing, beautiful, kingly day.